And just to give you guys a heads up, today's going to be, I'm going to go over some stuff with you to get you guys like a direction to go in from here on out. But on after this, what we'll probably do, just to give you guys an idea of the format, we'll spend the first 30 minutes, somebody will give a lesson, we'll hang out listening to that, and then after that, we'll probably end up going outside to do something fun with each other. So today, we won't be going outside. We got to get some information from you guys and some other stuff so that we can plan our future meetings. But basically, we want this to be like a rally point for you guys once a month where you all can all come back and see each other. You don't have to wait till camp, if we don't get to see you like during the week or at church. So that's the official goal that we're trying to go after. So let's open up with a word of prayer, and then we'll get rolling. Trey, could you open us up? Thanks,
sir. Sure. Thank you so much, Lord, just for an amazing year at camp, Lord. And I just pray that we just keep that going, Lord, that we just keep a fire burning in our hearts for you, Lord, and that we don't set down the mission that you have for us in our lives, Lord. And I just pray your blessing over this song service and just our entire time here, Lord. Just get our hearts just close to you, Lord, and just bless the message, Lord, and bless all the time that we're going to spend together. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, turn to 207. Oh, happy day. All right, 207. On the first, here we go.
Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and thy God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away.
All right, verse number one again. You guys getting that morning throat opened up? That is one. We got some morning faces happening right now. Exactly. Don't push me right now. Don't push me. All right, let's sing verse number one again. Let's sing happy day like we're happy today. Number one.
Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Oh, happy bond that seals my vows to him who merits all my love. Let cheerful anthems fill this house while to that sacred shrine I move. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. 'Tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and he is mine. He drew me in, I followed on, charmed to confess the voice divine. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Now rest my long, divided heart, fixed on this blissful center rest. Nor ever from my Lord depart, with him of every good possessed. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Oh, happy day, day when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away.
All right, take your seats, guys. Take your seats. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. How many of you guys are in discipleship right now? Wait, raise your hands up. All right, we got one, two, three. How many of you guys have been through discipleship already? Raise your hands. All right, so a couple more. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What is the importance of 1 Corinthians chapter 15? Does anybody here know? What happens there? Okay, Logan said the rewards you get in heaven. No, not quite. Not 1 Corinthians 15. I was looking for maybe at the end of the chapter. It might justify it, but not quite. 1 Corinthians 15. It talks about a G word that's very important for everyone to know. Our camp this year was about missions. And Jesus Christ, what does your shirt say? Look at Drake's shirt. Go ye into all the world. And what are you supposed to do when you go into all the world? Is it a tourism campaign that God's talking about? What was it?
Spread the gospel.
The gospel, that's right. If you guys don't have this in your Bible, do something, highlight it, make this thing known. So every time you come to 1 Corinthians 15, this puppy sticks out to you. 1 Corinthians 15 is the definitive spot in your Bible on the gospel. Now, who knows what gospel means? Oh, man, this is good. We're going to learn a lot today. All right, gospel. Gospel means good news, all right? So the gospel is the good news. Now, what is so good about the gospel? Anybody know what the gospel is? It's the good news about what? About Jesus Christ, all right? I'm going to read it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You guys are already there. 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to pick it up in verse 1. All right, listen to this. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Now he's about to lay out what it is he preached to us, what it is we received, and what it is we're supposed to be believing in. Here it comes, verse number 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. Here it is, number 1. How that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. Number 2, and that he was buried. Number 3, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Those three things right there lay out what the gospel is. Now, why are those three things that I just listed good news? Is that good news, anybody?
Yes.
It is? What's so good about that? Anybody brave enough to say why they think that's good news? That Christ died for your sins, he was buried, and he rose again? Logan, what are you going
to
say?
It allows us to.
Allows you to get saved and go to heaven. Does anybody in here want to burn in hell for the rest of eternity? I sure didn't. So guess what? The gospel was good news to me. Not only that, the Bible talks about he was buried. Does anybody here want to go through the experience of death? Anybody here looking forward to dying? You know, let's forget about like the salvation aspect of it. When I first thought about death, I was really young, and all I thought about was, man, I'm not going to be around my mom and dad anymore. I'm not going to be around my friends and family. I'm not going to be around anyone. Death is something you have to go through by yourself. So that really scared me. But it was good news to learn about someone that had already been buried before me and knew what the experience was like. And now, once I got saved, I found out that Jesus Christ would be there with me. I no longer had to go through that by myself. But the best thing about this thing that I love about the gospel, not only did Christ die for my sins, take away all my guilt, not only was he buried, he already went through the thing that I have to go through if God tarries. The Bible says he rose again. Death is no longer the last hurrah for man. Death is the opening to eternal life. When you die, that means you're awake forever now. That's what that thing means. He rose again from the dead according to the Scriptures. So that's the gospel, all right? Now, the Bible says that the gospel's in 1 Corinthians 15. I just laid out to you guys that the gospel is good news. And it's good news because the Bible says in Proverbs 25, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. The Bible, the Word of God, is likened to water. Heaven is likened to that far country. And the gospel that he gave to us It's like cold water to a thirsty soul. You guys know that song, Satisfied, we sing all my life long. I have panted for a drop from some clear spring. See that? That I hope would quench the longing or the burning of the thirst that I held within. That's what that's all about. It's about the gospel coming into your soul and quenching you. Just like I laid out over there on those camp shirts that we have that Drake's wearing, it says, go ye into all the world. And that was taken from Mark 16:15, and it's a call to God's people to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, when it comes to the gospel, there are two absolute aspects that you have to have and you got to understand. God gave us the good news, and it's very good news. We found out what Jesus Christ did for us so that we wouldn't have to die and go to hell. But there's two aspects to receiving this good news. And the first one, I just kind of said, the first aspect of the gospel is you've got to receive it. It's the gospel received. Have you received the good news? I believe everybody in here has, but if you haven't, that's still something you need to get taken care of. God can't use you if you haven't received him yet. Paul says over here in 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 1. He says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye also have received. Look down here at verse number 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. And then if you go over to John chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says, but as many as received, I also had to receive. Paul said, ye had to receive, but then it's many have received. That's how the gospel gets spread. It gets received. That's how that thing got to work. Somehow, some way, through some person, you heard about Jesus Christ dying for you. You heard about him going down into the ground and then raising from the dead for you. And then all of a sudden you said, hey, I'm sold. Give me what he's offering. I'm going to receive what he did to get me to heaven. However, this morning, I want to touch on the second very important aspect of the gospel. Praise God that you've received salvation. Praise God that you're saved, but that's not all you're supposed to do with the gospel. You haven't accomplished the gospel's purpose yet in your life. The second and the important aspect I want to talk to you guys about in the gospel today that's going to establish you, that's going to make you guys leaders, that's going to help you not to fall back into what the world wants you to do after God gave you a great week at camp, is this aspect of the gospel, and it's the gospel fulfilled in your life. The gospel fulfilled. And what that simply means is, after you receive the gospel, have you now taken that gospel and shared it with others? Have you shared the good news? And notice, Paul says it again over here in 1 Corinthians 15. Not only did he put a lot of emphasis on the word receive, but watch this. Verse 1. I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul talks about how he went up on the mountain and got this gospel from God. And after he got it, his job wasn't just to hold on to it, but it was to take it and put it out to others. He had to preach the gospel. Not only that, he says, I delivered it unto you. He didn't hold on to that thing. He passed it out to others. In Mark 16:15, that verse says, go, not stay with it, not sit on it, but go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel was not meant to be sat on. It was not meant to be kept or stored. It was meant to be delivered and preached to others after it was received. And I'm telling you guys right now today, you will absolutely not be fulfilled in your relationship with God. No matter how often you come to church, no matter how many sermons you listen to, no matter how many songs you listen to that are spiritual or the hymns you sing, you'll never be fulfilled in your relationship with God until you start performing this aspect of the gospel. You know, when you guys eat food, you guys don't just eat food because your mouth wants something to do, all right? You got to take that stuff in for energy. Anybody that's in sports, you know that they talk about certain types of food. Back when we used to have football games on Fridays, they used to always load us up on carbs. But what was it for? To hold on to it? No. It was to help us to put out energy in our sport, in our activity. The same way with the gospel. We take in this thing from God to put it out. Anybody here play an instrument? All right, I know Kenzie plays a trumpet. All right, when you blow into that trumpet, when you blow that air into that trumpet, is that air just meant to stay in there and do nothing? Is it pretty much like blowing into a cork or blowing into a pillow? What happens when you blow into a trumpet? Yeah, it makes noise. Good. Woo. That was a tough one there. All right. We just started school, all right? So we got to get the minds going again. It's all good. Yeah. You put breath into something like an instrument to get a sound out of it. When God breathed into you the breath of life, you became a living soul. You got life. When the Holy Spirit of God breathed upon you and saved your soul, he expected you to live out that life to others. Okay? It's the same way. That's what the gospel is all about. Just like electricity, we're all tech savvy and all that stuff like that now. We don't pile drive electricity into our devices just hoping that, you know, the electricity would disappear, you know, go into like some type of insulator. No, it's a conductor. It goes into that thing and it charges our devices. It brings the lights on. It does everything that we need it to do. And just like that, we're not supposed to be insulators with the gospel. We're supposed to be conductors of it, passing it on to others. You might be thinking, well, Zach, if the gospel is so important, why would God give it to people like us? Well, he's supernatural. Why not take that thing and just, you know, get passed out to the world supernaturally and do it himself? God always used people to reach people. That's how you got to do it. You might remember back there when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Maybe you guys don't know this, but did you know that Jesus Christ wasn't the only one to rise from the dead when he came up? Yeah, Matthew 27 lays out that many bodies of the Old Testament saints also arose. So it was almost like, I mean, it wasn't like walking dead. I mean, they were pretty much like taking care of themselves. When Jesus Christ went down to the ground, the Bible says many bodies of the Old Testament saints arose. You guys know why he did that? Because even while Jesus Christ was performing miracles, raising people from the dead, healing the sick, giving the eyesight back to the blind all throughout his earthly ministry, people still did not believe on him. They said, well, he's doing it by the power of the devil, or he's doing it by the power of this, but check this out. You know what the people could not deny about the power of God? A lot of those people that said they wouldn't believe on Jesus Christ, they had relatives that had already died. And they may not believe in Jesus Christ, but they couldn't deny the fact that Aunt Susie had been dead about 15 years, but the moment Jesus Christ went down to that ground and came up, now here Aunt Susie is coming out of the graveyard and sitting down to eat with us again. That's pretty impacting. God didn't even just use Jesus Christ when he wanted to spread the gospel. He used people to get that message out. And it caused a lot more people to believe on him. They could deny Jesus Christ, but they couldn't deny their own relatives. The work that Jesus Christ started, he left with men who had infirmities. He told his disciples, greater works will you do than I do. Why? Because I go to my Father. And the reason he did that was because we can relate to people that have infirmities like us. Those disciples, they got tempted. Those disciples got worried about things. They got stressed out about things. They had relationships. They had relationships with people that they were worried about being broken because of the ministry that they were doing. So Jesus Christ used them to minister to others, people with like infirmities. I want to say to you today, God has chosen you to reach the people in your life. You say, well, Zach, what about me having a rough past? There's no way in the world anyone would believe anything that I have to say about God now. You know, they've seen me do so many crazy things. I got a little thing I like to pass on to people like that, and I tell them, listen, the rougher the past, the greater the contrast. The rougher your past was, the greater the contrast. And listen, when people know about your past, but then they all of a sudden see you turning the corner, doing a 180 and doing something brand new for God, and you're living a life like you never did before, that catches their attention. Maybe for a kid that's come up in church, though, that they've already seen that did something good, it'll be harder for them to take notice of something that's changed in their lives. But maybe those of you guys that have had tough struggles amongst friends, or you acted one way in school, and then this year you're coming back acting a completely different way, that's going to catch their eye. And you're fulfilling the gospel. They're seeing Jesus Christ in your life because of the contrast from your old way to your new way. The rougher the past, the greater the contrast. Now, when it comes to this gospel, thank God, like I said, that you're saved. Thank God that you're sealed. Thank God you've been set apart and you're safe forever. But you've also been sent. And until we fulfill this aspect of the gospel, we're like a brand new car without a motor. It's nice to look at, but it's worthless for the work. And I want to tell you, our goal in this time together, when we come together on these Saturdays, these second Saturdays of the month, well, this is the third one, but eventually it's going to evolve around the second Saturdays, it's going to be to get you guys to accomplish this, the second aspect of the gospel fulfilled in your lives. And like I said, so many folks go to camp and they walk away on fire for God, and they're resolved to live for him, but they never get established because they never fulfill this aspect. I'm here today to tell you that we can and will, by God's grace, get you established in the process that we operate this through. Let's solidify it. One word. It's through discipleship. It's through discipleship. Now, all throughout the Old Testament, God used leaders to carry his word to the world and to his people. And in the New Testament, Jesus Christ also chose some leaders. And you might know him. He chose 12 to spread his message to the world, and he called them his disciples. And that's what we're doing right now, guys. And notice that word disciple. It's got the word discipline in there. And in order to be a leader, you've got to discipline yourself. You have to learn what the disciplines are and hold yourself to it. Discipleship will teach you these disciplines and establish you. Discipleship is how you accomplish the fulfilling of the gospel in your life. And I got to say this about discipleship. You might be thinking, well, I've heard about it and I've seen it happen in people's lives and I've seen people start it and they just walk away and go back to the world. Zach, what's that all about? The effectiveness of discipleship is based off of what you put into it. One of the things I hated about the summertime was all the conditions. And I love sports. I used to play football. And I love playing football. I love, you know, studying the films and all that stuff, watching the games. But the one thing that I absolutely hated about football was the conditioning that happened over the summer. All right, the two-a-days, the early morning runs and all that stuff like that. It really sucked. And one of the things that the coaches really emphasized was hardcore exercise, hardcore workouts that would push you to your limits. But did you know that it was a weird thing? I understood why they were doing that. They were trying to make us better. We had town rivals that we wanted to beat. They always told us, listen, if you bust it harder than so-and-so over here, then we'll end up beating them in the season and stuff like that. You put in the work that they're not willing to put in now, and then you'll reap from it later on. Did you know that that was a team of about maybe 60, 70 guys that were out there doing those workouts? But did you know that not everybody benefited from those workouts? We did these things called gassers, where you start, you know, down at the goal line, you run to the 20, then you run back to the goal line, then you run down to the 50, then you run down to the goal line, then you run all the way down to the 70, then you run down to the goal line, then you hit the other touchdown down there, all right? So the coach was always on us, blowing the whistle, go, 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 if you're last, you're running again, type of stuff like that. But did you know that after those workouts, it really benefited me, but there were other guys where it looked like they had absolutely no improvement after a whole summer of doing that. You know why? They didn't put a lot into it. It's the same way with discipleship. If this is something where you get started with it and you just kind of come in, you listen to somebody just read the Bible and you're kind of placating them, you're just treating them nice because, you know, this is something your parents want you to do, or this is something I'm supposed to do to look spiritual, I guarantee you, you'll go right back to the stuff that you were doing before. You won't benefit from it. The effectiveness of discipleship is based off of what you put into it. That's how the Word of God works. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. For when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth. The word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believeth. Discipleship is the first step in becoming a good leader, and the amount of effort that you put into it will determine how you lead others. And when it came to Jesus' disciples, you find out that he had more than 12. He actually had 70. And then out of that 12, he had a top three. And then he had one that was really awesome. And that's how it's going to be with you guys. It's all about the amount that you want to put into it. Now, the goal of discipleship is laid out for us over here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 through 7. If you can't get there quick enough, just write it down. Colossians 2, 6 through 7, and I'll read it for you. This is what we're all about. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. And that's what we talked about at first. You received Jesus Christ. That's the first aspect of the gospel received. But now look what it says, so walk ye in him. Look what it's going to do when you walk in him. Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So you received Jesus Christ, and now the Bible says, walk in him. Walk like you've received him, guys. But then look at these three things it lays out. Rooted, built up, and established. What's rooted? Well, over there in Isaiah 53, 1 through 2, and Revelation 22, the Bible talks about the root being Jesus Christ. When you get rooted, you learn who he is, and now you're not fooled by others and tossed about with every wind of doctrine. There's all kinds of nonsense out there in the world about who Jesus Christ is, about how to get to heaven and stuff like that. What discipleship would do for you, it would show you what the Bible has to say about those things so that you can use that as your absolute authority. The next thing the Bible says is built up. Because not only are you supposed to go ye into all the world, but before you can go, God needs you to grow. Okay? He doesn't want to send a baby out there to do his job for him. God wants to take you through some things while you're going through discipleship to grow you so that afterwards he can use you. And then lastly there it says, established in the faith. Now, the faith, what's that? That's the entire body of Christian beliefs. You know, someone might ask you, what do you believe as a Christian? You know, what is it that you guys, study and understand? That's what discipleship is for. It's to get you into that door to understand what you believe, why you believe it, and then how to apply it. Now, lastly, there's four things I'm going to lay out to you guys that discipleship will establish you in. And this is the goal of you guys getting to the point to where you're the leaders that you want to become. These four goals right here. And when you go through discipleship, this is the purpose of it. The first thing that discipleship will do for you is it will establish you in the Word of God. Now, a lot of you kids have been around here for a while, and I've talked to you about things. I think I was hanging out with Logan Oering after camp, also with Mason and Dylan. And Keo was already gone. He was back on the road by that time. But one of the things Logan was talking about was like he knows a lot of stuff in the Bible, but he can't necessarily tell you where to find it. That's the point of discipleship. To get your opportunity to go through that book, understand what God has to say about things, but also document where to find those things. So most of you know a lot, but can't tell me where it is. More of you know something sounds off, but you don't have the book to know why it sounds off. And then the majority, you know you should know, but you don't know why you don't know. You know, that's kind of what's happening. But that's the point of getting established in the Word of God. It's from not being established in the Word of God that those problems arise. Some of the things that happen when you get established in the Word of God, you get to understand how the book works. You find out that the Bible has three applications. It's got three people groups. And I like to look at it like this. It's also got three focuses. The Bible focuses on principles, basic instructions and doctrines in that book to show you how to operate in life. The Bible focuses on promises. Those are things that you can claim. You can pretty much hold God's hand and say, listen, I'm not letting go until you do this for me. And he's got to come through and do it for you because it's a promise he made. But then lastly, the Bible teaches us about people. People. We study people's lives in the Bible. We look at the mistakes that they've made so that we hopefully won't make the same mistakes. Princesses, promises, and people. The next thing that discipleship will do, it won't just establish you in the Word of God, it will establish you in the ministry. Now the ministry, for those that aren't familiar with that term, that's just the work you do in people's lives. And you guys know this if you're saved today. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tells you that we're not supposed to work to get saved because Jesus Christ already did all the work for us. But even though we don't work to get saved, now that we are saved, we want to do a lot of work, okay? We work to show Jesus Christ how grateful we are for what he's done for us. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship. He worked to possess us, created in Christ Jesus for the what? What was the purpose he created us for and saved us for? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Titus chapter 2, verse 7 says, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Titus chapter 3, verse 8, lastly says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good manners. No, good works, good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. And once you realize this, it should help you set your values and priorities in order. And what the ministry does, guys, and what it pretty much causes you to do, it causes you to make a decision. From this point on, will you try to fit your life in around the ministry, or will you fit the ministry in around your life? And what does that simply mean? Ask yourself this question. If everyone in youth group showed up as often as you do, would we be able to have a youth group? Or maybe we'd be able to have one, but instead of bi-weekly, it might be bi-monthly. Or maybe, you know, it won't be bi-monthly, but we'll kind of like go into like an orbit phase, like where we come to youth group in the spring or something like that, but we don't come the other three seasons or something like that. That's something I had to ask myself when I first came to this church. You know what? Could I build a church with people like me in it? Or will we not be able to assemble enough to even have service? That's what the ministry does. It calls you out on stuff like that. It says, listen, is this your purpose in life? Is this your work you're going to be established in? Or are you trying to establish yourself in other things? The third thing that the discipleship will do for you is it will establish you with like-minded people. And man, I tell you what, this is where I believe I've been blessed and benefited the most, the friends that God's given me while on the battle lines with him, my brothers that were born in adversity with me. And this is some of the best stuff. You know, you go out there in the world, and oftentimes the friends we get are based off of, you know, we have a common interest in humor. We got a common interest in what we wear, a common interest in what kind of sports we play and stuff like that. And because those common interests are so shallow, because our relationships with people became, you know, a shallow foundation, oftentimes those relationships are broken up just as shallowly. But the relationships that you guys build in the ministry with your brothers is built on something that's a lot more foundational, a lot more stable. It's built on eternal things, and no matter what you guys go through, it seems like the tougher the times, the worse the circumstances, it just brings you guys closer together. And I got to encourage you guys, get into the ministry, man. Get into discipleship. It's going to get you involved and around people that love God, and then you're going to have some true friends in life. The last thing that discipleship will do is it's going to establish you in the church. And the church is the mission that God operates through this day and age. It's the vehicle that he uses. You know, back there in the Old Testament, the world, they had to come to the Jewish temple to get God. And even in the New Testament, you can see a kind of a picture of that. There's a story about this guy named the Ethiopian eunuch. And he was coming from the country of Ethiopia up to that area around Samaria and Jerusalem. Why? To worship God. Wouldn't that be something? It's hard for me to get up sometimes and go 15 minutes down the road to church. Imagine this guy coming from Ethiopia all the way to another country just to worship God. And that's what God's system was back in the Old Testament. If you wanted him, you had to come to the Jew. You had to find them in the temple. But now you guys know what 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says. Your body is now the temple once you get saved. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost. And instead of the world coming to you, the Bible says our job is to go. Go ye into all the world. All right? You take Jesus Christ to them. You are the church. It's not a building, but the people who are establishing God's program and vision for this age. And I want to be honest with you. My life over the last 10 years has been mostly learning this book, getting in the work, building bonds with others, and then passing this vision on to others. And through discipleship, I end up becoming a leader who is now established. And that's not like a boast or anything like that. That's simply saying, I've gone through this process, and it will do this for you. It will establish you. It will fulfill you in your relationship with God. But once again, it's all about what you put into it. It can't just be something else to mark off the checklist that you got accomplished on your Saturday schedule. It can't be just something else that you did during the week, you know, just to add to your merit badges, all right? You've got to take God seriously. You've got to get into that book and get what he wants from you. So are you ready to fulfill the gospel? Are you ready to start the lifelong process of becoming who God wants you to be so that he can do with you what he made you to do? All right, what I want you guys to do is ask yourself three questions. Number one, am I ready to get discipled? Number two, am I ready to learn how to disciple? A lot of you guys have already been discipled, but you haven't started to put the gospel back out to others. That is the best way to absolutely grow in the ministry and grow with God. Take what God's given you and push that stuff back out to others, man. And then number three, am I ready to disciple others? A lot of you guys, you've been around this thing long enough, you're like chomping at the bit. Zach, set me loose on someone. Let me go. So that's what it's all about. And what we're getting ready to do right now, we're going to go back here. I'm going to have the girls probably go into the youth group room. There's more of you than there are the boys. And the boys will go back to the third grade room. And we're going to take some time to write a couple of things down on a 3x5 card. And we got some questions on the board. And what the counselors are going to do, they're going to collect those questions from you guys after you answer them. And we're going to take you guys and try to help you accomplish this if this is something that you seriously want to do. When Bob at camp asked you guys, you know what, if you wanted to be truly committed to God and, you know, not just go back to the world and everyone, you know, got broken and came down front and wanted to do something for God, this is putting that into action now. This is the action plan. This is how we're going to make that happen. So pay attention when you guys go back there and get involved in that. But I want you guys to remember those things. Discipleship, it will establish you. It will fulfill you. But you've got to put that stuff back out, and you've got to put these things into action. All right, guys, let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to go back there and get some stuff written down. Heavenly Father, thank you for the attentiveness of the kids today. I pray and ask that, Lord, if there's anything goofy I said that distracted them from what you had wanted for them to get, Lord, that you would just help them to forget about that thing and hold on to the stuff that you can use. And right now, Lord, as they go back there into these rooms and we get ready to just have a time of fellowship with them and hear what's on their hearts, God, I pray and ask that you would just help them to be honest about it and really, really help them to realize this is an opportunity for them to really get close to you, Lord, and really get serious with you. Not that they want it to be somber and, you know, dead or anything like that, God, but it really is. They got to take you seriously at some time, Lord. And once they do that, God, I know that you're really just going to come into their life and give them that fulfillment of a relationship that they absolutely need. And I pray that you would just help them to take these questions that are on the board seriously and help them to really look internally and figure these things out for themselves. Well, I love you and thank you and pray and ask it all. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so boys, head back to the third grade room. Justin Dejan, can you show them where that is? And then girls, go to the youth group room. We'll be in there for a couple of minutes, and then after that, we'll grab some lunch.